Good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. Weather for the KRVS listening area. Scattered showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon, about a 30% chance. And currently it is sunny and 93 degrees here on the campus of UL Lafayette. Stay tuned. Coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon, it's All Things Considered from NPR News. And coming up at in just a few minutes, in fact, right now, we'll be joining Judith Merriweather in the interview studio.
And joining me by telephone from New Orleans is Ron Thibodeau. He is a writer and editor at the Times-Picayune in New Orleans, has been there about 30 years, 31 years, I think you said.
Still have that,
and you are the author of a new book that's just been published by the UL Lafayette Press. The book is called Hell or High Water, How Cajun Fortitude Withstood Hurricanes Rita and Ike. And before we talk specifically about this book, Ron, I'd like to talk a bit about your background and kind of let people know how you became even interested in this topic, because obviously there's been a whole lot more written about Katrina, so your perspective and background must be rather unique.
Well, I've lived in South Louisiana all my life. I grew up in Bayou Country in Terrebonne Parish. Graduated from LSU, worked a couple years in Baton Rouge, and then landed at the Times-Picayune back in 1981, and I've been here ever since. And, of course, the Times-Picayune made a conscious effort a long time ago to not be a statewide newspaper. The emphasis was really just on the New Orleans area, but over time, I managed to kind of position myself as someone who could come over into Acadiana now and then and do meaningful stories about Louisiana's Cajun culture in a way that would appeal to the New Orleans area readers of the paper.
That's interesting what you say about the Times-Picayune really focusing on New Orleans, but there is so much that goes on there. So I guess that could really take up the activities of the paper.
Right.
But, you know, when you mention you're from Terrebonne Parish, that's a little exotic to those of us from this part of South Louisiana. You know, it is Bayou Country, but describe it. Describe the area where you're from.
Well, I grew up in the city of Houma, and Terrebonne Parish is one of these places that's typical of the coastal region of South Louisiana, in that if you look at it on the map, it's enormous, but actually the percentage of dry land where people can live is very, very small. You know, if you look at the big wall map that the state of Louisiana puts out every 10 years, it's one of those parishes that's almost entirely green, which means that's marsh and swamp, and if you're living out there, you're on stilts. So Houma is sort of at the upper reaches of the parish on dry land, and then extending toward the Gulf down, it's like an open hand, and Houma is at the wrist or the very top of the palm, and then there are all these bayous, which are the fingers, which spread out toward the Gulf, and there's high and dry land right along the bayous and the roads, and everything in between is, well, it used to be marsh, and now is getting more and more to become open water. But that area of southeastern Louisiana shares a lot in common with other parts of Acadiana, but it is distinctive in its own ways. One thing that I came to appreciate only in my later years is that when we think of Cajun music, people in Terrebonne Parish traditionally have had a very different take on that. It's been much more of a country influence. No accordion, really like country music sung in French. You know, like a phase that Cajun music went through back in the from the 40s and 50s, which kind of turned in more in the heart of Acadiana once the accordion came back in. But we didn't see that too much in Terrebonne and Lafourche Parish. We're seeing it now, but by and large, that's one of the distinctions. But you know, the food is the same. The Cajun accent is a little different, but I think people have more or less the same outlook on life, and it's all about enjoying where people live and how they live. Seafood, the Catholic traditions, the oil field industry, a lot of it is the same collection of common threads that you would find in Southwest Louisiana.
And I guess also, too, those family connections and community connections that are so important all across South Louisiana.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I'm a Thibodeau, and, my mother was a Robichaux, and, I've got aunts and uncles and cousins strung out all along the Highway 90 corridor, all the way to Lake Charles.
And those connections, I guess, are really a big part of your book that we're going to be talking about in a moment.
Right.
I want to tell people who may just be tuning in, my guest is Ron Thibodeau. He is a writer and editor at the Times-Picayune in New Orleans. He's just published his book, Hell or High Water, How Cajun Fortitude Withstood Hurricanes Rita and Ike. It's been published by the UL Lafayette Press. So what was your experience of hurricanes as you were growing up?
In 1964, we were on the fringe of Hurricane Hilda. That's my first hurricane experience. I was born in 58, so I'm 54 years old now, and I have a vivid memory of when I was 6 years old, our family riding out the storm in our what turned out to be rather rickety house, and in the middle of the storm, my parents bundling up my infant brother and myself in quilts and making our way to the brick house next door, and that left quite an impression on a six-year-old boy. And the next year, Betsy came along, and my parents didn't take any chances with that, and then we had, Camille, we felt, but really was much more of an impact on the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
So how did Betsy affect HOMA? We hear more about, the flooding in New Orleans.
It was more of a wind event. I mean, there was not the kind of flooding that you saw in New Orleans. I'm not aware of any deaths around there. It was one of those powerful storms that leveled trees and as a little boy, it's wonderful because once it's over, your entire backyard is just filled with tree branches, and it's a great place for playing for days until your dad clears it out.
Children, you have a different perspective on that.
Well, yeah, certainly as you grow older, you look at things differently, but I ended up writing about Hurricane Hilda, that 1964 storm, in a chapter of the book where I talk about the town of Erath, it's very interesting because Audrey from 1957, which killed hundreds and hundreds of people in Cameron Parish, has always been sort of the benchmark killer hurricane until Katrina came along. But in other places in South Louisiana, there are other storm experiences that very locally register across time, and Hilda was one of those in the town of Erath, when the people were huddled in the city hall, monitoring ham radios and communications that were in existence at that time, and then as the storm approached, water tower sort of in the backyard of City Hall collapsed, landed on the building, and killed a handful of people there. And so, you know, even though it was otherwise not that powerful and dramatic of a storm, on a local level, it left, you know, a permanent impression on the, you know, on the memory of the people there.
Mm. Well, you mentioned that one of the things you were able to do at the Picayune was to kind of stretch the boundaries and write more about Cajun culture, Cajun community. In addition to your work on the hurricanes, what other kinds of topics did you write about?
At the turn of the new century, we spent some time taking stock of Louisiana's Cajun culture at sort of this milestone in the calendar, and in 2001, we ran a series of articles called "Culture at a Crossroads." I was fortunate enough to be given 3 months off from my regular duties at the paper to go out across South Louisiana and kind of get a sense of what was happening in places from the bigger cities to the smallest of the small communities, and what that meant for the culture of South Louisiana going forward, you know, into the 21st century. And that was sort of the jumping off point for me. I mean, that was very well received and very successful, and you know, I was able to build on that to get out and do other things. We've done some extensive work on various aspects of Cajun music, and I even went to Nova Scotia in 2004 to cover the worldwide reunion of Acadians there. Louisiana had hosted the Congre, as it was called, in 1999, and then the next one, this is an event that's held every 5 years, the next one in 2004 was in Nova Scotia, which is, of course, the motherland of Acadians. Mm-hmm. So my wife and I were going to visit there anyway, just on a personal level, but I was able to parlay that into some reporting for the newspaper.
So you've positioned yourself very well to write about Cajuns and the cultures of South Louisiana. You're not just riding upon having been born a Cajun down in Terrebonne Parish. You really have explored it and contemporary Cajuns not long before the hurricanes hit. Again, my guest, Ron Thibodeau from New Orleans, writer and editor at the Picayune. His book, Hell or High Water, How Cajun Fortitude Withstood Hurricanes Rita and Ike, has just been published by the UL Lafayette Press. And I think what impresses people by this title is particularly that Cajun fortitude. And I guess that's what interests me about your having spent so much time actually all along South Louisiana and really exploring that Cajun character. Maybe you could describe that to us and why that plays such a big role in this book.
Well, one of the things that has always struck me is that Louisiana as an institution is very good about marketing to the outside world what makes Louisiana special, and it's a legitimate draw for the tourism industry to be able to play up things about who we are and what we do in Louisiana that's so different than any place
else. Like food, dance, music.
Yes, But you know, one of the challenges, and I've written about this a fair amount in the past. One of the challenges is trying to keep that experience authentic while marketing it to the outside world. I mean, it's easy to throw around the catchphrases, you know, the joie de vivre and the laissez les bon temps rouler and things like that, and create an impression in the minds of people that you want to attract down here to go to the restaurants and the Fred's lounges and things like that. But it's not just a caricature. you know, it's a real thing. It's a it's a real group of people, and they live their lives in a certain way, and it's important to not lose sight of that. And you know, for me, the underlying story is you know, how the Cajuns got to be who they are, and you know, what has transpired over the past 200, 250, 300 years in South Louisiana. And of course, we're not just talking about descendants of the Acadian expulsion in Nova Scotia, but you know, everybody who has stumbled into this wonderful melting pot that we have all across South Louisiana, you know, from the Black Creoles, who some well-respected historians suggest were America's very first cowboys, to immigrants of other ethnic origins, the Germans and Scots-Irish, and you know, even in later years, people from as diverse as the Middle East and Oklahoma, you know, now all sort of playing a part in you know, stitching together you know, that tapestry that we have here.
Right, and creating a people, as you describe, with great fortitude.
Exactly.
And seems like, I guess, that characteristic that we think of with the Acadians, having survived those 10 years of wandering before finally all of them were settled in South Louisiana for the most part, I think probably has characterized much of the, you know, the character of the people here.
It's a starting point, and it's you know, it's a dramatic story, and it's you know, something that everybody in Louisiana should know. But for these people, you know, that was only the beginning. I mean, once they landed here, and they had to navigate everything from, you know, what's with all these mosquitoes
and
this humidity, you know, to finding their way in. You know, in the late 1700s and into the 1800s, you know, in the, you know, in the culture and society that was continuing to develop here, and you know, even as they get into the 20th century, you know, there are still plenty of people around who have personal experiences that, you know, that they themselves recall. Of, you know, being punished in school for speaking French, you know, as a result of, you know, of the law being enforced, you know, beginning in, you know, 19, I guess it was 1921, when the mandate took hold that, you know, instruction was in English and English only, and French-speaking children were forbidden from speaking French in class or even on the school grounds. And so the result of that is that, you know, as these children grew up, married, and had families of their own, there was a reluctance to promote that language and the cultural ties that went along with that, as they were raising their own children. You know, they didn't want them subjected to that kind of thing, and instead, you know, we're going to be American. We're not Acadian. We're not French. Mm-hmm. You know, before, I guess that was before the term Cajun even came into widespread use. But you know, the pendulum swings back, and you know, those children grow up and realize what they missed out on, and are you know, over time, trying to regain that for themselves and the next generations.
So the Acadians, Cajuns, what we have become in South Louisiana, we've withstood a lot of threats to the culture, whether it is having to do with language, the physical threats in weather and land. And your book specifically focuses on one of those physical threats, and that is the hurricanes. Describe for people, and again, you realized that very little was being written about the effect of Rita and Ike upon South Louisiana. So much of the attention was in New Orleans. What did you find after Rita and Ike, and when did you start exploring the effect and the response to these hurricanes in South Louisiana?
Well, Rita hit 3.5 weeks after Katrina. I guess it was around September 24th of 2005. And I was immersed in the Katrina experience, both personally and professionally. I mean, I was involved as an editor at the Times-Picayune with covering many of the aspects of the Katrina experience, and on a personal level, where we live in Covington in St. Tammany Parish on the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain, we and our neighbors and friends were also impacted in different ways. So that was my immediate concern, but it wasn't long at all before I got a sense that what had happened with Rita was a lot more serious than people seemed to be regarding it. And as time went on, not to diminish any of the attention that was given to New Orleans in the aftermath of Katrina, but I just kept saying to myself, well, what about Rita? As the months went by, and into 2006, it was just an afterthought if people thought about it at all. And the fact was, this was a very powerful storm that did something that most storms don't do in our experience. It didn't come up from the Gulf of Mexico and hit one specific location. It swept all the way across the coast of Louisiana, from one end to the other. Like, the 250 miles of Louisiana coast were just clobbered, just flooded. And of course, the area that was impacted was not as densely populated. There was not the loss of life. There were several good reasons, quote unquote, for not taking Rita as seriously, but the people who were there knew how serious it was, and I just saw, from my position, somewhat removed, that it was a story that hadn't really gotten out beyond those immediate areas, and I just felt like it needed to be told.
Right, and even though there wasn't the loss of life, there were entire communities that were leveled and flooded and gone.
Absolutely. The people in Cameron, packed up, as they always do, ever since the Audrey calamity. They never take storms lightly, but they packed up thinking they'd be gone for 2 days, three at the most, like they always do, and instead, they were months out before they could come back because there was nothing to come back to.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, like in the spring of 2007, like a full 18 months later, I convinced myself, well, if nobody else is going to tell this story, I'll try to do it myself. I'd never written a book before. I had really no sense of how to go about this. And I just did it in my spare time. I mean, I didn't take any time off from my job at the newspaper. I just sort of, on a piecemeal basis, a vacation week here or there or a long weekend or something, I'd go out to these places. It was doing research, kind of eyeballing things, just looking in on, and just trying to make contacts among the many people that I know to kind of set up a network that would lead me to people who had experienced this storm in such a way that their experiences, if they were willing to share them with me, could help to illustrate what had really happened.
Mm.
And I started doing this, and before too long, it looked like it was going to become something. I started to put an outline together, was conducting interviews and transcribing those interviews and starting to piece this together. But like I said, I was doing it in my spare time, and before I got too far along with it, then Hurricane Ike came along the next year in 2008 and did the exact same thing. It swept all the way across the coast. It was extremely powerful. It flooded all of these communities over again, some of them worse than Rita. In many cases, it undid 3 years of recovery, and these people were left to start rebuilding yet again, and rebuild they did. But for me, it meant that my Rita book had suddenly become a Rita and Ike book, and I had to step back and kind of figure out how to incorporate that second storm into my narrative. And I actually added a few chapters and adjusted some of the storytelling to reflect that as well. But I mean, I think it all worked out in the end.
Well, certainly that story just strengthens your portrait of that Cajun fortitude. I want to tell, again, people who are tuning in now, my guest by telephone from New Orleans is Ron Thibodeau. He's an editor and writer at the Times-Picayune, has just published his book with the UL Lafayette Press entitled Hell or High Water, How Cajun Fortitude Withstood Hurricanes Rita and Ike. He will be in Lafayette on Saturday, July 21st at Barnes & Noble at a book signing, I think at 12 noon. So you'll have copies of the book there that you'll be signing, Ron?
Yes.
And I'm sure you'll be happy to talk with people about their own stories and their reactions.
Oh, by all means. I've never stopped talking with people about this. It's one of these things that I think people all across South Louisiana are going to be living with for a long time.
Right. Well, people will certainly appreciate your telling of that story because, as you mentioned, there has been so much written about New Orleans and just kind of outside the publicity of cameras, the people in South Louisiana to the west really have been rebuilding lives for quite a number of years now.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. I know people can go to the UL Press website for a little more information about your book. Is there another place? Do you have a personal website?
I have a Facebook page for the book. For those who are on Facebook, the Facebook page is Hell or High Water Book.
Okay, so people can search for that.
Yes, www.facebook.com/HellorHighWaterBook.
All right, check that Facebook page out, and you can also go to the UL Lafayette Press website for further information. I believe you can purchase the book through the UL Press.
That is correct.
Again, a wonderful press, and just putting out so many great books about our culture here in South Louisiana.
Absolutely.
Well, Ron, thank you for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
It's been my pleasure.
And we look forward to more of your work, your journalism in Louisiana that really illuminates it for all of us. Again, Hell or High Water, How Cajun Fortitude Withstood Hurricanes Rita and Ike, written by my guest Ron Thibodeau. He will be at Barnes & Noble Saturday, July 21st. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you very much.